In a moving scene from The River, Jean Renoir's beautiful film of India, a crippled American soldier is outraged at the cross that he has been given to bear. In his anguish, he asks a Hindu woman if there still is anything that he can do to make his life worthwhile. And she replies in one single word, consent. In other words, be. Now that is what Jesus tells us in today's gospel. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He means if you want to become that unique kind of person that the Lord created you to be, then gradually over the years you must learn how to renounce your ego-centered, fear-driven, achievement-oriented self. Die to self, Jesus says, and follow me. If you really want to make your life worthwhile, he says, take up your cross, follow me, but above all, he warns, learn. Come to know what it will cost you if you follow me. He's speaking about the cost of discipleship, which is the cross. Isn't Jesus saying that to follow him means embracing every single aspect of our life? Part of our life is beautiful, and we embrace it gladly. Another part of our life is tedious, and we embrace that part as a necessity. But there's always, for each of us, another part of life that is difficult. Jesus calls it the cross. The philosopher calls it absurd. When the young, the good people die young, when the unjust people go unpunished, when life cannot escape pain and suffering and death, many will interpret all of this as the absurdity of our human existence. And those people will cry out angrily that life is meaningless. But you see, the cross symbolizes that absurdity in a very strong way. Jesus died as a very young man. Jesus was the just man being punished. And he too knew much suffering and pain and death. And we people who are members today of his body, his disciples, we are called upon to embrace our life in the very same way that Jesus did, with trust. Trust that the same God that he called Father is strong enough to draw comfort from our pain, to draw meaning, some kind of meaning, from our existence, and even to draw life from our death, our dying each day to self. Now, when things get tough in life, this approach, I know, seems to demand sometimes the impossible from us. And yet, all of us know some very ordinary people who continue to make extraordinary acts of faith, of trust. Like the elderly woman I knew who was suffering from a long-term painful illness. And I would visit her and show her compassion and tell her my usual hope that she would soon be feeling better. And she would always answer, "I guess this pain is God's way of letting me know that he's still around and close to me. Probably without it, I might forget him." Now, I know that we would be uncomfortable with her notion of God as the one who sent her the pain, but she really was not saying that. I admired her, as I'm sure anyone would, for her trust, her ability to extract meaning from this deep suffering in her life. She had embraced the absurdity of the cross. She had, by the gift of her faith, entered into the work of the redeeming Christ. She had understood through faith that each of us is inserted as a vine into the branch, which is Christ. We share his life and then we carry out in our life, in whatever we do, including our sufferings, the work of Christ, and it all becomes worthwhile. It all has redemptive value, liberating value for other people as well as for ourselves. It is in that way that the little flower, Saint Teresa, became known as the patroness of the missions. While she was lying on her sick bed, she was bringing strength to the people, bringing the good news of Christ, the Savior, to others. The key to all of this is trust. Pain is not something that is given only to the believer or to the non-believer. Pain, as we are told in the first reading, is simply a part of the human condition. We all share it. But what separates the believer from the non-believer is our interpretation of this experience that is so commonly shared by all. The believer looks upon the cross of Jesus with all of its absurdity and ugliness and knows that if this one person has risen above it, above this suffering and pain and death, then it is also possible for all of us to rise above it. Because of our gift of faith and the fact that we are members of Christ, that his saving life is within us, it is that kind of faith and trust that we share within our very pain and suffering that makes this significant statement about the Spirit of our living God. It says the God that we believe in is strong, stronger than any kind of apparent meaninglessness that we might feel in our life. I'm sure that some of us then think that this kind of approach to life is the type that would attract people that we would call martyrs, or the other people we think who are put to the test in a special kind of way. The fact of the matter is that all of us ordinary people face some kind of testing each day of our life, except it's always different. It's personal. Think of the mothers who are trying to hold their heads together in the face of the impossible demands made upon them by their children, their home, the dull daily routine of living. Think of the fathers earning money each day for the family who start out morning after morning for the kind of job that is monotonous, perhaps, they have grown to dislike. The cross is not extraordinary. It is found all too easily in the ordinariness of parenthood, within the pace of modern life for all of us, within the turmoil of the church this very day. And yet, to turn against God, to abandon hope, to lose faith, in the face of absurdity, would be a clear sign that somewhere along the line we had decided that we no longer would count the cost in following Jesus. That is the warning of today's gospel. Learn to count the cost. The cost is to accept all of the moments of life and try to see in all the moments of life, even in the most difficult moments, that somewhere hidden in the garbage there is the possibility, at least, of salvation, of liberation, of freedom, of healing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a man of this century, he has suffered more than his share, put it so clearly when he said, when Christ calls a person, he bids that person to come and die to self. And yet the gospel today assures us that this saving death that he calls us to is always life-giving. Life-giving for ourself and life-giving for other people. That is the mystery of Christianity. That is the mystery of the Passover. The constant passing over from each day's small little death to self into a better, deeper kind of life in understanding the mystery of what our faith is all about. That we truly are inserted into Jesus Christ as vines into the branch, and that no matter what we do, no matter what we suffer, it all has meaning because we are part of the redeeming Christ. Our work is saving. Our suffering is liberating. It is redemptive for ourselves and for others. That is the mystery. And that's what Jesus means when he says, "Fear not, no matter what comes to you." It is always I, the living one, he says. Learn to trust. I have come to heal you, to make you strong. I have come to bring you life.